Friend, it's time to take some inventory and to see, am I a Bible Christian? Am I a child of God through truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
On today's Healing Word, Pastor Morris takes us to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul is answering the false accusations of those seeking to harm him by spreading malicious rumors and lies regarding his ministry. In today's world, there seems to be so much hypocrisy and untruth swirling around us, but God's Word stands as a beacon of truth and hope that can always be trusted.
I promised you a sermon today that I was going to talk like a fool. I suppose I've done that other times without announcing it, talked like a fool. But today we're going to talk about the truth, the Word of God, the truth. I want to know the truth, don't you? I mean, there is so much hypocrisy and lying and dissembling. God, give us something that is genuine and authentic, and he has. He's given us the truth. Talk about the fool in truth. What does a fool do with the truth? Because the truth doesn't mean a whole lot to a fool. But to a wise woman, a wise man, a follower of Jesus, it is the truth that liberates us and sets us free to serve the Lord and to be the people that God put us here to be the man or the woman that God wants us to be. Now, if you look at chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, and now he puts in almost in parenthesis, I am speaking as a fool, also dare to boast about. Well, just briefly, what happened here? Paul was being accused of not being an apostle, not being a good pastor. Some people came in, and of all things, so-called Christian people accused this man who wrote a third of the New Testament that he wasn't even an apostle, and he certainly wasn't a good pastor. And Paul said, now I'm going to boast about my accomplishments, what God has done in me and through me. And he said, I don't want to, basically what he was saying, I don't want to boast about those things because it'll tend to lift me up. And he said, anybody that brags on themselves is a fool. And so he said, I'm going to talk like a fool for a while. And in other translations and versions, one of them says he's talking like he's out of his mind, like he's insane. But he goes ahead and begins to tell them that I am the seed of Abraham. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was circumcised the eighth day. And he went on to defend his apostleship. Now today, in the very beginning of this message, I'm going to talk like a fool. I'm not a Hebrew, and I'm not a, but I am the seed of Abraham, just like you are, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But I'm not going to defend my ministry. I'm not going to do that at all. What I am going to do, I'm going to take passages, perhaps scriptures, that I've heard people debate and talk about and reason over and wrestle and try to explain and make it, quote, relevant today. I'm going to take some of that and I'm going to talk like I am that person. So God help me. So I'm going to talk about the scripture and how people are looking at it. Not all people, but some people are, and some are even in the church today. Some will take and say things like this: Pastor, I believe in the Bible, but the Bible was written a long time ago. It is an ancient book, and we are now living in the 21st century. Let's look at the Bible and make it relevant. Oh, Jesus, little helper comes along. God needs some help now. So I shouldn't have said that part. But Pastor, it's an ancient book, and it just needs to be brought up to date and interpreted in the light of today's society. It just isn't relevant, or at least some passages aren't relevant. Now, Pastor, I love the Bible. I read the Bible. I'm glad you preach out of the Bible. We're a Bible church. But there are certain passages that just does not fit in to today's society. Now, you think about it. Have you heard anything like that? Have you been reasoning like that yourself? All right, here's some of them. Pastor, let's talk about marriage. What does the Bible have to say about marriage? My God, I'm talking like a fool now. I believe in marriage, but marriage is holy. I believe that. Marriage is sacred. I believe that. But Pastor, when it comes down and you insist that it has to be between one man and one woman, just because the Bible says that, just because God brought Adam and Eve into the garden, a man and a woman, and he set the stage from the very beginning of time, the very beginning of the human race, and the Bible teaches that, and I know what that Jesus sanctioned it, and also the Apostle Paul, but Pastor, this is the 21st century. You ever hear anything like that? Okay, well, man, we're all fools this morning a little bit, maybe, listening to that. But this is what's being put forth, and it's now even in the churches. But here's another one. Pastor, let's talk about sex. Now, sex is ordained of God, Pastor Morris, and it's meant for procreation, and it's meant for enjoyment. But Pastor, just because a young man and a young woman aren't married, that doesn't mean that they should abstain, does it? Just because the Bible said, no, the Bible is an ancient book. It was written back there by people so long ago, and women would wear veils. And Pastor, the Bible in that particular stance is just outdated, and we need to look at it. Pastor, that young man and that woman are in love. They love each other, and they're going to get married someday anyway. I've heard that so many times, and they didn't get married anyway. But they're going to get married anyway, so right now it's almost like they're husband and wife. And Pastor, the Bible, I know what the Bible says, but the Bible also says that the greatest of these is love, and love endures forever, and God is love. And so shouldn't love take over and do away with those scriptures? Isn't love greater and stronger than that? I'm talking like a fool. Well, what about money, Pastor? I know the Bible teaches tithing. I know it goes all the way back to Abraham, and I'm the seed of Abraham through Jesus. And I know what the Scripture teaches about bringing all the tithe into the storehouse. And I know that Jesus was a tither. And I know his disciples were tithers. But Pastor, you know, it doesn't sit well with me. I just don't think that is necessary. Now, I give to my church. I pray for my church. I give money. But to give a tenth just because the Bible says so. Now, that was written way back there. This is the 20th century. We pay taxes. We give to charities. But to bring a tenth to the house of God just because Jesus did it, because his disciples did it, and because Jesus said, you ought to. Word is there. This you ought to do. Pastor, you know, I just can't go along with some of the teachings of the Bible. And so, and I'm a follower of Jesus, but he said some ancient things way back there. Now, what about forgiveness? Now, Pastor, I believe in forgiveness. I know God has forgiven me, and I believe in forgiving. But I will forgive after they get their payback. Once they get what's coming to them, then I'll forgive them. But I'm going to wait until they reap what they sow, and then I'm going to forgive. It's too hard to forgive. I know what the Bible says, and I believe in it, but I believe the time difference is just a little off. Now, Pastor, I wouldn't take a penknife or a pair of scissors and cut those scriptures out. I just think that we need to understand some of those salient points of Scripture a little differently with a 21st century spin on it. That book is an ancient book. Now, I believe in that book, but there are some things that I think we need to interpret just a little differently. The Bible is the Word of God. It's infallible. We read the Scripture at the very beginning. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Notice that first word, all Scripture, not part of Scriptures, not the Scriptures I have problems with, or not the Scriptures I do not have problems with, but all Scripture is God-breathed and the Word of God. And the problem that I have with that kind of reasoning is, which ones am I to start interpreting? Which ones, which Scripture verses am I to put the spin on? I'm not going to set myself up and say, God, I want you to listen to me. I know what you said, but I'm not going to quite listen to everything. I'm going to read between the lines and make it just a little bit different than that. Now, Jesus and the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, notice three things, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to turn over now quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just hold on here just a moment. Chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. Now, hear this. See, I have set before you. Here's God setting something before us. What's he setting before us? See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. Jesus said, I am the way. To walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are entering to possess. Now, God has a plan. He's put it out there. You can, and I can, choose to put our private spin on verses, or I can take it and believe it and live and be prosperous, or I can put my spin on it and go in doubt and in unbelief.
Pastor Morris will return in a moment with the conclusion of today's message, following this important invitation to join us in worship this Sunday at the Largo Community Church in Bowie, Maryland. At either the 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock service, to experience a wonderful fellowship of believers and faith-building messages based on God's Word that is sure to encourage your faith and spiritual formation in Christ. The church is located at 1701 Enterprise Road in Bowie, Maryland. For more information, visit our website at largocc.org. Now, let's join Pastor Jack Morris for the conclusion of today's message. What is truth?
We go into a courtroom. In a courtroom, they'll say something like this. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? They want the truth. Do you promise to tell the truth? Okay, I'll tell the truth. I mean the whole truth. Don't leave out part of the truth. See, a courtroom expects more than some churches are expecting, than even some people interpreting the Bible. Will you tell the truth? I mean, will you tell the whole truth? Don't tell part of it and leave out part of it. Don't believe part of the Bible and put your or my private spin on part of it. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Don't mix in a little bit of error. Now, the court expects that. Surely, God expects as much as the courts of the land expect. On one occasion, Jesus was standing before Pilate after Pilate had been accusing him. Pilate didn't really accuse him, but Pilate said, I find no fault with him. Jesus had a purple robe on him. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And then impatiently, Pilate turned and walked away before Jesus could give him an answer. You see, there's a little bit of Pilate in all of us. We want the truth as long as it fixes us and our particular situation. But when we hear truth that we don't want to hear, we'll try to get away from it real quick, just like Pilate. What is truth? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the truth about marriage. I don't want to hear all the truth about sex. I don't want to hear the truth about tithing. I want to hear the truth about forgiveness. I'll walk away from it. I'll turn a deaf ear to it. I'll listen to the sermon. Matter of fact, Pastor, I just wish there were some subjects you would leave out and wouldn't preach on. Just preach on those good ones that tell me how God's going to bless me. Well, I did that in Deuteronomy chapter 30. God set before us life and death, prosperity and destruction. Now the choice is us. Isn't it something how God respects the power of a person's choice and the choice that he has given to us? Now, who's going to be the person that's going to set himself up or herself in the place of God or start telling God, God, this is not what you meant. You meant that back there, but you've changed your mind. How do I know God changed his mind? How do I know that? Today, God, you mean this. Listen, God says what he means and he means what he says. Amen. He's forever the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is the same. Now, we're searching for the truth, but we live in a day that is a day of a real and present danger, a day when the voice of God, the word of God, is just another voice. We want the voice when we hear it, and it's in tune with how we like to hear it, and it sounds good to us. But this day in which we live, we are living in that day when the voice of God is just another voice, and we're going to interpret what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. But yet we're going to pray and ask for blessings. And then when the blessings doesn't come, why not? Friend, God cares and he loves you and his word is for you and for me to help us, to bless us. Solomon built a temple, a magnificent temple. There's never been a building, a construction, an edifice on the face of the earth in all of history that was like Solomon's temple. And he built it for one purpose, for the protection of the Word of God, the worship of God and the protection of the Word of God. Well, after a period of years, Solomon lost his way. And after a time, so did the people. Lose their way. They became like sheep without a shepherd. Years passed, and now a new king came on the throne. His name was Josiah. And Josiah, the very first thing he did was to order the cleansing of the temple. The house of God was in disarray. And so he ordered the cleansing of the temple. Well, they cleaned the temple. I mean, literally, I don't know whether they had vacuums back there, but however they did it, but they cleaned the temple, and somewhere in some back room covered with dust, somebody found the book of the law, the Bible, the Word of God. They dusted it off and they brought it out. You see, the book of the law, the Bible, had been missing for years, and nobody knew it. They just didn't do it. They started leaving out that scripture, putting their spin on that scripture. Pretty soon they didn't even need it at all. And they were now coming to the temple, coming to church, worshiping God and praying with no Bible, no Word of God at all. Now, when the Word of God is not present, God is not present, because the Word of God is the very breath of God. And when the Bible wasn't present, they didn't even know the Bible wasn't present. And when the Bible wasn't present, God wasn't present, and lo and behold, they came every Sabbath, and they didn't even know that God wasn't there. Friend, do you know God is here this morning? I can guarantee you this is going to be a Bible church. And sometimes I have had, well, I'm not going to say what I've had. I'll just let that one go. But this is the Word of God. When Jesus was a little boy, 12 years old, he was left in the temple. His parents didn't know he had been left in the temple. He had been there for 3 days. They didn't even know he was missing. And they went back and they reprimanded him, scolded him. Didn't you know that your father and I were looking for you? And little Jesus said, well, didn't you know? And this is what he said. He said, didn't you understand that I must be in my Father's house? Didn't you understand? I think there's a lot of people in Father's house, they just don't understand what God is trying to do through the book and how God is trying to bless and heal and save and heal marriages and make situations whole and prosper us. And we're praying for all of those things. And we keep praying and we keep filling out those prayer requests and we keep seeking God, but nothing happens. Friend, it's time to take some inventory and to look into our own heart and to see, am I a Bible Christian? Am I following the Word of God? Am I a child of God through truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? We come to the Bible and we know it's honest. It came right out of the mouth of God. And because it did, and God is God, and God says, I am God, I change not. No matter what you think, no matter what society thinks. You see, when they stood Jesus before Pilate, the people all gathered, and they didn't like Jesus anymore because Jesus was truth, and he told them the truth, and he told them the way to God, and he was about to take their sins. Even though they rejected him, he was still going to die for them. He was still going to love them. Friend, he loves you regardless. He loves you. And I want to love him back, and I want to do what he says. And I know I'll be okay when I do what Jesus says. And the people cried out when Pilate said, it's our custom to release one to you at this time of the year. It's our custom. And they cried out, Barabbas! Release Barabbas! We want that wicked murderer. Release Barabbas. We have a law. That's what they said. We have a law. People are saying today, Pastor, it's okay because it's the law. It's the law. We have a law, but we have the Bible. Now we have to decide the Bible, the Word of God, or the law. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. These are the words of Jesus after he rose from the dead. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now you do that, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority. You see, Jesus has authority over marriage. He has authority to talk about it. He and his Father and the Holy Spirit authored it. Marriage is ordained of God. See, marriage is older than the church. Marriage is God's idea. It was God's idea. It's still God's idea. So he has every right in the world to talk about it and to lay it down. And he said, this is how it's going to work, and this is how it's going to be blessed. He has every right to talk about sex and to lay down the law according to sex, the Word of God. He said, all authority. He has the authority. We sing majesty, worship his majesty, kingdom authority. We can say things, sing things, and then do our own thing. Make truth relevant. When truth becomes relevant, truth becomes a lie. And God is absent. I want God. I want a Father who loves me. And I want to love him back. And I want to know his love. And we can know his love in a great and wonderful way.
We pray that today's message, What is Truth?, has been a blessing and has provided you with a peace and confidence that can only come through a relationship with Jesus and through the power and truth found in his Word. The Healing Word is a ministry of the Largo Community Church and exists to grow your faith in God and lead you to a closer walk with Jesus. But we can't do it alone. Will you consider partnering with Pastor Morris today by praying for the ministry? And consider sending a gift to help us in reaching those who are struggling with life's challenges and need hope for tomorrow. You can make your tax-deductible donation in a matter of minutes by visiting our website, largocc.org. Click on the Healing Word and follow the Donations tab to complete your support of this vital ministry. When you contact us, Pastor Morris will return a note of thanks and will lift your name up in prayer to God with heartfelt thanks and appreciation. Be sure to tune in to WFAX tomorrow at this same time for another edition of the Healing Word. Until tomorrow, blessings on you.